Well, this week we're joined by Paul Montague from Blevins Franks. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm very well, thank you. As good as the weather is.
Yes, okay, thank you. Nice to catch up with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and he's going to answer some frequently asked questions about death and inheritance issues in Spain. While it's an uncomfortable subject, and one most of us prefer to avoid, it's something we need to think about and plan for at some point, before it's too late. So, Paul, what happens to our financial assets when we die?
Yeah, it's a question I get asked quite often each week of my working life, and that's 36 years old. Let me just cover off, if I may, the actual circumstances and the rules, or rules of inheritance tax in Spain, the basic rules, so our listeners get a good understanding of this. I think that's the right thing to do to begin with. So just to start that, I'll start with saying, first of all, in the UK, it's the estate that's taxed. So United Kingdom, the estate is taxed. In Spain, it's completely different in terms of it's not the estate, it's the beneficiary that's taxed, or beneficiaries. So if you've got multiple beneficiaries, each and every one of them will have their tax calculated independently. When is inheritance tax due in Spain? This is a really important point. If the asset is in Spain, so if it's a holidaymaker with a holiday home from United Kingdom, they've got a holiday home in Spain, it's always liable for Spanish inheritance tax. Okay, so even though they're living in the UK, any assets in Spain, bank accounts, cars included, investments, etc., are always taxed in Spain on death. And or if the beneficiary of an estate is a Spanish tax resident, so the other way around, if the beneficiary in Spain, such as myself, receives money from my family's death, one of my family's death in the UK, I have to divulge that in Spain. Within 6 months, usually it can be extended to 12 months. So just say assets in Spain, or if the beneficiary is a Spanish tax resident, you're liable for inheritance tax in Spain. You may be liable for inheritance tax in the UK. I'm not going to go down that road today. It gets quite messy if I do so. Everybody's different. It's worth knowing that there's 17 autonomous regions in Spain. What's an autonomous region? I'm from Lancashire, hence the accent. You've got Lancashire, Yorkshire, Surrey, Essex. They're all counties. That's equivalent in Spain to an autonomous region. So there's 17 of those. Each region has its own rules, which can differ quite a lot. Now, just to build on from that, the state rules. So the state of Spain said these are the basic rules for inheritance tax. And it starts at 7.65% and it can go as high as 84% depending on the relationships, which I'll cover off in a little bit of time. I live in Andalusia. There's rules different in Andalusia than Islas Canarias, the Canary Isles, and in Madrid. They're all different. What the state says is the inheritance tax rules cannot be any worse in the region than the state rules. So the rules that each autonomous region is allowed to manipulate cannot be any worse than the state rules. Okay? So beneficiaries, wherever they are, if the asset's in a certain region apart from the other one, then the taxes will be different, even if the UK beneficiaries or the Spanish beneficiaries. And this is important to absorb. There's four beneficiary groups in Spain. Number one, number two are close relatives, parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, spouses included. So one and two are very close relatives. Number three is aunties, uncles, brothers, sisters, stepchildren. Number four is unmarried people. Now, let's have a look at Andalusia because I live here, as an example. If somebody between the close relatives in one and two dies in Andalusia, the maximum they're going to pay inheritance tax is 1%, just 1% of what the actual tax bill. Very, very generous allowances indeed. Far, far better than the UK, to be fair. If someone's in three and four in Andalusia, in number three, they're going to pay taxes plus half again, whatever the taxes are, with no discount. And in number four, the tax is going to be at least double before any discount, which is nil anyway. So it can be very, very expensive. Now, when somebody dies in Spain, as a Spanish resident, a UK national, what happens in both the UK and in Spain is their share of the assets are frozen. So if Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Mr. Smith dies, his share of the bank account in Spain is frozen, while Mrs. Smith can get access to her half share. Same with investments and other things. In the UK, it's pretty much the same. Okay, so they are frozen to a degree. And that can prompt if somebody's ill and sadly, you know, you understand that a certain person might not have long left, to put it bluntly. You might want to make some quick decisions and quick planning, quick manoeuvres to focus on that. Okay, so that's the basic rules.
So what do UK nationals living in Spain need to know about Spanish and UK procedures on death? And what can we do in advance to make these things easier for our family?
Yeah, this is an issue for me because people always come to me for advice after the event, nearly always anyway. They say, I've lost my husband, I've lost my wife, I've lost whoever, and this is where I am. And it could have been far, far easier if they planned for this. But basically, when somebody, a UK national living in Spain, dies, nearly always you have to administer a UK estate, first and foremost. And that UK estate, it goes into probate, of course. It takes time. And at this stage, you should appoint a power of attorney, to be honest with you. So a Spanish lawyer can work with a power of attorney that's been made and notarised in the UK, brought back to Spain. Why? So beneficiaries aren't coming and going between the two countries at an expense when it's a terrible time for them. So a power of attorney in the UK, the first point is dealing with the UK estate, should be had. When that's sorted out, and it can take time, and I'm not going to say there's an inheritance tax due in the UK or not, because everybody's different, but when that's sorted out, then, and it's been apostilled, finalised in other words, we have to deal with the Spanish estate. And again, it's wise to get a power of attorney for the lawyer to deal with it, so there's no mishaps, it's done quickly, then it can be done. And of course, one thing I will say to you, and I'm saying two or three times, is make sure you've got a will to deal with the Spanish estate and the UK estate.
Talking about wills, should British expatriates here have a Spanish or UK will, or both?
Generally, in a nutshell, both. When you make a UK will, I've just run a set of seminars in this in Andalusia, and I'm running one in Tenerife in May, and I'm talking about this in detail. When you make a UK will, and lots of people made a UK will living in Spain, but they've not made a Spanish will. But if you make a UK will, it usually, by default, deals with your worldwide assets. Now, what I mean by that is it doesn't have a line in saying this is dealing with UK assets only. It just, by default, because there's no other will to override that. So what would happen if somebody died with just a UK will? Then it's very, very simple on paper, but it's very, very difficult in real life. You'd have to bring a UK will into Spain, get it notarised, which is a cost. You have to get it translated at a cost. It takes time. You pretty much have to prove to a degree but that this is the last will and testament, because unlike Spain, UK wills aren't centralised. I think they should be, but that's another topic. So if you have just a UK will, and again, at a really bad time of somebody's life, a widow perhaps, then it's something that's going to be time-consuming and very, very costly. What we say as a company at Blevins Franks, what I certainly say is, make a Spanish will dealing with your Spanish assets only. Now, the wishes with the Spanish will can be completely different than the UK will. So you can administer it to say, well, this isn't going to my stepchildren, this isn't going to my auntie, my uncle, my cousins, because they're in Group 3, as an example, and they're going to pay lots and lots of inheritance tax in Spain for the Spanish-situated assets. You can say, well, I understand the inheritance tax now, I'm going to leave it to a one and two dependent, a beneficiary. So my advice, in a nutshell, as I said earlier, UK will for worldwide assets, and a Spanish will cancelling out the UK will for Spanish assets and just deal with the Spanish assets only.
What happens if you die without a will?
Well, that's known as intestate, Howard, and I've only come across, I've been 20 years with Blevins Franks, it's soon to be 21st year. And I could honestly say, out of clients, I've only had two that didn't make a will, despite my recommendations to do so many, many times. And it proved to be hellish. Spanish law is implied if somebody dies intestate. So you haven't got the freedom to who you want to leave it to. Spanish will law says you have to leave so much to the spouse, so much to the children in set percentages. You might have some family disputes and you might not want it to go to a certain child or spouse even. I've seen it happen. So if you die intestate, then you're not free to leave it to whoever you want in what amounts you want to leave them at.
I know Scotland has some restrictions, but elsewhere in the UK we can usually divide up our estates as we wish. But it's different in Spain, isn't it? And what are the rules here? And what can we do about it?
I basically covered that off with the last question, but let's just expand on that. If you die intestate, that is a real mess. It just elongates the process massively. what can you do about it? So let's look at the positive side. If you make a Spanish will, as I recommend, you can leave your assets to whoever you want in what amounts, as long as you include that you are a UK national. For example, I was born in England, or I was born in Wales. I want to use the will law of my country of nationality, or my country of domicile. So if you say that and you include it in your Spanish will, then you can leave it to whoever you want with no fuss, no problems. If you don't include it, so if you say, I just want to make a will and I'm going to leave it to this person, it could be tackled at a notary office to say, well, you haven't implied, you haven't given the sentence that you should put in, stating that it should be left as per your country of nationality's will law. So just to reiterate, it's very important when you make a will, a Spanish will, include the fact that you want to include the will law of your country of nationality, England in this example.
Moving on to inheritance taxes now. Both the UK and Spain impose an inheritance tax. Are the two regimes similar or different? And which one are British expatriates liable for?
Yeah, okay. So inheritance tax, both the UK and Spain. If this moves into the realms of domicile, I covered previously. To put it broadly, if you're a UK national living in Spain and you've got assets in Spain, they're liable for Spanish inheritance tax, as I mentioned several times. If you hold assets in the United Kingdom, a rental property, banks, for example, they are taxed in the UK under the UK inheritance tax regime. Now, this is where it gets a little bit complicated, but it's not that complicated if you break it down. If you remain a UK domicile, so you've left the UK, you've been away for 2-3 years perhaps, and you've still got good connections with the UK, you've still got a car, a member of a golf club, you've got a property available to you, meaning that, you know, you could come back at any time. Even though you've considered Spain as your new home, and you've got a doctor, dentist, financial advisor, accountant, etc., you would still deem to be a UK domicile. Domicile is an issue. People go, I don't understand that. I don't want to know about it. But it's such a great issue. If you can deal with this correctly, it can save your family, your beneficiaries, an awful lot of taxes. And I'm dealing with a case at the moment. I'll give you an example in a little bit. Now, if you remain a UK domicile, and you will do for at least 4 years after leaving the United Kingdom, if you remain a UK domicile, it means your worldwide assets, not just the UK assets, worldwide assets are liable for inheritance tax at 40% above the nil rate band, which is currently £325,000. That includes your holiday home in Spain and other places that you might have property, banks, etc., investments. So UK domicile is worldwide assets. If you live in Spain and you've been outside of Spain, I'll come to the lady I've been dealing with down in the Costa del Sol, and she held £1.15 million of assets in the UK. She's never lived there for 36 years. She's been in Spain for an awful lot of time. She worked here. She's retired here. She's a lovely lady. And she's not taken any real advice. Her bank were happy to recommend an investment for her, but no one's talked about the tax. And she's got three beneficiaries in the UK. So she will be deemed most likely. We've done a questionnaire and a specialist domicile questionnaire to be a non-UK domicile. But the fact that she still holds assets in the UK means they're going to be taxed in the UK, despite her being a non-UK domicile. She's quite a new domicile of choice. So the tax bill between the three children will be £110,000 each on her death. I brought this to her attention. She was looking at doing something else with us, and I said, I'm just going to cancel everything. I want to deal with this. You need to position your assets correctly and move these outside of UK. And I've done it in such a way now that the tax will be, I think it was £7,000 per child rather than £110,000. So, yeah, when you ask about inheritance taxes in the UK and in Spain, UK assets, UK inheritance tax, Spanish assets, but then it comes to domicile. It's a UK concept, and it depends if you've shook the domicile off or you haven't, but it's very important if you hold considerable assets to look at this in detail.
So taking all these things into account, Paul, what is the best way for British expatriates to hold their assets in order to make life easier and tax efficient for their family and heirs?
Well, number one, you guessed it, make a will, a Spanish will, to reflect your wishes and have it notarized in Spain. And absolutely ensure that you install in the will that you want to use a will law of your country where you come from. You should look at domicile, as I said, it's so important for wealthier people. If you're not particularly wealthy and it's not an issue for you, making a will, making sure, I lost a client recently in Tenerife, and she's been a client for 20 years and she was dear to me. I'll use Mrs. Smith again. And I said to Mrs. Smith on several occasions, she had lots and lots of little investments everywhere, scattered everywhere, Isle of Man, Jersey, Guernsey in the UK. She must have had 22. It's going to take considerable amounts of time making sure that these are notarised in the will, getting the values, shutting them down. These companies, more times than not, require the original death certificate, and that's going to, and we've only got two or three copies of that. So I would say, and this is a bit grim, isn't it? Planning death is an awkward thing, but mainly don't leave it to your beneficiaries. Bring everything into one particular shell, if you will. So someone's got a bird's eye view of these. Not just put them into one place, maybe, or two places. Making sure they're tax efficient, not just for investment sake, but also for inheritance tax. And there's certain things you can do, certainly with trusts. We're a trustee company at Blevins Shranks as well. We're an offshore trustees regulated in Malta. Maybe trusts work for some people, for a minimal amount of people, trust work. If there's any family issues, certainly. So just really tidy it all up prior to death. And you know, there's no nice way of saying this, is there? The next thing is, I keep going on about this, and it's something that I love to talk about, because I want my clients to save money, not themselves, but certainly the family, and domicile planning, and doing it right, and taking professional advice, if not from us, from somebody else who's dedicated in this respect. Domicile planning can save an estate an awful lot of money. And of course, limit assets in the UK, for reasons I've explained earlier.
Well, these are big subjects and sometimes big money as well, so it's obvious that we've got to plan in advance, as you say. So how can people get in touch with Blevins Shranks and their local partner?
Yeah, you've got the website, blevinsshranks.com. You can go online and find your local partner. There's all the offices there and pictures of all the happy faces. Depending where you live, you can pinpoint the partner and you can send a message through the internet. And you've certainly got a telephone number if you want to make direct contact as well, Howard. It's very easy to do.
Many thanks, Paul. We'll talk in advance time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.